So you missed last week, I'm sorry. So, and the memories in general are getting shorter than they used to be. We're in the middle of the piece from the Baal HaTanya, from Perek Hei in Tanya, that's on the pages, page 2, of the photostats that you were that you got a couple of weeks ago. On the right side, on page 2, a little around halfway, which says Vizais Miley Yaseira Gedolov and Aflova in Kates. We're comparing the Nefesh HaChaim, the definition of Torah Lishma that's found in the Nefesh HaChaim, which is the world of the Vilna Gaon, with the definition of Torah Lishma, Torah for its own sake, that's found in the Tanya, which is the world of the Baal Shem Tov. In order for us to be able to really understand, or have at least to attempt to understand the rest of the Aris HaTayr, and I know it's been a difficult process. It's not. It's a big inyan, but it's definitely kedai to. It's kedai to work on this. Some it's kedai. It's an important part of. It's a very very important part of Tayr. Why we're learning Torah? It's the question of why we're learning. Why should we learn Torah? But specifically, to be able to understand where Rav Kook was coming from, since he came from these two worlds, and the dream of his entire life and all that he was working for and towards was to bring together the two worlds of the Baal Shem Tov and the Gra, which he himself wrote about in a number of places. We spent a few weeks working on the Nefesh HaChaim, and we began to work 2 weeks ago on the fifth parak in Tanya. And we're going to see that there's really very little that practically separates these two worlds as far as the tachlis of learning Torah is concerned. However, the effect that little difference, or the influence of that slight difference, has certainly been very great. And we're going to see how they merge together in the writings of Rav Kook, with a obvious inclination towards the Derech HaBaal Shem. With an inclination towards the Derech HaBaal Shem, but not excluding Chalila, the Messiah that he received from the world of Reb Chaim Volozhin. So on page 2, on page 2, where it says Perek Hei, on the right side, that's from Tanya. Tanya, as you recall, or might not recall, is explaining the Lashon that's found in the Tikkuni Zohar from Eliyahu HaNavi, that Eliyahu HaNavi said, Leis Machshava Tfisa Bach, that the human mind, and just to review for a minute, that the human mind is incapable of being toifes, of grasping, of grasping Hashem. And the Tanya was explaining that there's a particular reason why the word tfisa, to be toifes, is being used here. We normally associate tfisa, a person would normally use the word tfisa when it comes to holding something, grabbing something. That's usually how the word tfisa is used. It's also used when it comes to understanding something, and the Tanya is explaining that with elokus, that with godliness, how are we to understand the meaning of tfisa? And he explains, or our inability to be taifes, and he explains that in general, when a person is trying to understand something, he's being maskil with his seichel, a certain muskal, to try to understand. The seichel, when a person enters into the mind in a very, very deep way, then the mind is taifes. It doesn't just touch, it doesn't just scratch a little bit the muskal, the subject, but it takes complete hold of it, and his entire mind surrounds that inyan, and it surrounds the inyan. And the mind itself, the mind surrounds the inyan, and the inyan surrounds it and fills the mind. It's mukha from Mulubish Besech HaSeichel. It says, therefore, when a person is concentrating on a Mishnah, on a Gemara, really, really concentrating, that's this Shabbos is the Chukosai Teleichu. Teleichu is Amelim B'Torah. Amelis B'Torah means that when a person really, really sinks his mind into a piece of Torah, at that moment his Seichel, his intellect, is being Teifes U'Makif. His Seichel is taking hold of, is grasping, is holding, and is surrounding that piece of Torah, and his seichel is melubish, becomes enclosed and completely dovuk to that piece of Torah. This is really what I was talking about for those with Lag Ba'Omer at night, the inyan of sight. It's not a matter of just thinking about something or understanding something. You remember we were talking about is the concept of God, or there's the concept of love, and there's a difference between dvekus with God and being in love. There's a big difference. That's the sight. Sight means there's a tfisa where the person's mind and the subject that he's thinking about become one. They're no longer two separate things. They become one. What's extraordinary about that when it comes to the study of Torah, which you don't have anything else, is that the infinite mind of God, Kivyachal, the infinite mind of the Bari Olam, of the Creator, is contained, is hidden in that Mishnah, in that Gemara, in that Pasuk, in that Rashi. So the infinite, infinite mind of the Creator is there. And the Ratzon of Hashem, the will of Hashem, A, that we understand this Torah, and B, that we live according to this Torah, that we observe this mitzvah and so on. That Hashem is Baruch thought and thinks that when Reuven, this is what I'm just going over the Tanya outside, that when Reuven will say, you owe me this, and Shimon argues and says, no, but I don't owe you that. So when you open up the Gemara and you see these Tanyas back and forth, that Reuven and Shimon fighting over something, the feeling that you initially get is that this is just a legal manual of some sort, a very complicated legal manual. And if you knew it, you would probably say a very unorganized, a strange legal manual, which is trying just to get to the point of who owns this thing. And anybody that's coming from the outside, as we spoke about last time, feels after, you know, half hour, 40 minutes, just take the thing already. You could have it. You could have it. It's okay. I can't bear going on with this anymore. Just keep it. It's all right. And that's for a person who's from the outside who doesn't understand. What's the tachla? What is Torah learning? Torah learning is to get to the point. If Torah learning is to understand who won, so then it could be not just frustrating, it becomes absolutely impossible to make your way through. To make your way through a Gemara becomes impossible. So that becomes especially frustrating if you're looking at if you're working on a Gemara, which never happened and most likely will never happen. Such a story that I'm reading about in the Gemara never happened and it's not going to happen. The chances of this happening are less than me mastering this page of the Gemara. The chances that this will ever happen. The Tanya says that this world of Reuven and Shimon, for whatever reason, that's not important for now. It's a big subject, but it's not for now. This is what is part of the divine mind, Kivyachal, and the Rotzen of Hashem, that what? That whether it happened or didn't happen, that there's such a world of this, of Reuven saying this and Shimon saying that, and that the psak, the halach is this, that when a person's mind is taiface that concept in learning, grasps it, surrounds it, becomes enclosed in it, becomes unified with that thought, which requires tremendous concentration, when that happens, then in effect what's taking place is that the human mind, as amazing as it sounds, the human mind becomes unified with the infinite mind of God. And that is a unity that is higher than any possible unity that exists. The Leis Machshava, it says that the Leis Machshava Tfiseh Bei, the Leis Machshava Chachmosei, it's impossible. So now going back to what Elionavi said. Elionavi said, Leis Machshava Tfiseh Bei, there's no mind that can grasp the infinite one. Can't be. A human being is finite and the Baruch Shalom is infinite. Can't understand him. However, when a person is learning Torah, and this is the tachlis of learning Torah according to the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmud Baal Shem, so tachlis. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin and the Tanya not arguing about concentration, and they're not arguing about learning Torah being fully focused on the piece that you're learning. What's the tachlis of Talmud Torah? There's a difference. Whereas Rabbi Chaim agrees, Rabbi Chaim is a great Makubal, and he agrees that it's an exceptional unity and something's happening in the world, in the Eilamus. But the tachlis of Limud HaTorah according to Rabbi Chaim is not Dveikus B'Hashem. How that happens, what that happens, that's not your union. The tachlis by Rabbi Chaim is the understanding of the piece of Torah in front of you. That's the tachlis. But the Tanya says that the human mind, which cannot grasp God, nevertheless, at the moment that the person's mind is immersed in that piece of Torah, that means that he is being toifes, the infinite one himself, whose mislabesh, who is enclosed, concealed, hidden, in these halachas, in these mishnayas, in these gemaras, in these psukim. Even though you're reading a pasuk that seems to be, Elo told us, that's there. And when your mind is focused on that thought, on that piece of learning, and so on, the Tanya says, "Yichud nifkush and yichud kamayu." This is a wondrous unity. There is nothing like it. And all in Gashmi, it's le'achodim umiyachodim mamish mekol tzadupin. That you become one, that's the dveikus that I was talking about, like Boimer, the sight of Torah. And that's what I was explaining the other night, that it really doesn't necessarily depend upon what you're learning. And that was the main thing I wanted to get across, which was, as I said, wasn't my idea that's in this form, that it's that you could be a person that you're not able to understand a Blat Gemara. You're not allowed to learn a Blat Gemara. Right? Women are not allowed to learn a Blat Gemara. Unless it's very, very special circumstances and not at all what they're advertising. So, whether it's a Pasuk in Chumash, that's what you're able to do. You're able to learn a Pasuk in Chumash. You're able to learn a Halacha. You're not able to learn it. It's the ikkar is not the material. Each person has to try to do the best he can, whatever level he's on, certainly. Amelus, that's this week's parasha. Telechu, to work hard. The ikkar is whether or not you are connecting to this piece of Torah. As per Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, that's fine. You're focused and trying to understand it. Bearing in mind what the Tanya says here, bearing in mind, literally in mind, that you are engaging by virtue of your schwitzing over this Rashi, or this Gemara, or this piece of Zohar, whatever it is, to get to the side, which means that I should by means of this piece of Torah that I'm learning, I should be dovuk, I should be attached to the Bari Olam, and that my heart should be inflamed, and that my life should be inflamed through this act of unity that's taking place. So Tanya says, this is where we're up to, v'zois ma'ili yiseir g'dayl of nefla, and we have the last word on the line, a little bit more than higher up than half. V'zois ma'ili yiseir g'dayl of nefla la'ein keitz. And this is the advantage, the wondrous advantage, la'ein keitz, that can't be measured. Asher mitzvus yidiyas ha-Torah v'hasagos al kol mitzvus ma'isis. This is the ma'ila that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah has over all of the mitzvahs ma'asis, over all of the practical mitzvahs that we do. There's a ma'ila that Talmud Torah has over all the mitzvahs. The typical opinion of those who are not learning the Tanya is that the Hasidim don't feel this way, and that the Hasidim see Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, is being either equal to the other mitzvahs, or even, God forbid, lowered down in the hierarchy of mitzvahs. But that's simply not true. The Tanya says, "V'zoyis ma'ali yiseir g'dayl v'nefla la'ein keitz, asher b'mitzvahs yidiyas ha'Torah v'hasagasa, al kol ha'mitzvahs ma'asiyas." The ma'ala of Talmud Torah, of living Torah, over all the mitzvahs ma'asiyas. And even the other mitzvahs that are tluyas bedibur, that depend on speech, such as tefillah, such as davening, again, something that people from the outside would not believe that this coming from the mouth of a chassid. And in fact, there are different places in the writings of the Tanya where it's not clear. There are other places in the writings of the Tanya where it sounds like davening is higher than Talmud Torah. It's a little bit hard. It's a big inyan to figure out in the Tanya's writings. This tefillah, Talmud Torah, tefillah equation. We're not going into that right now. We're right now reading the Tanya Perkei, and we're seeing his words with our own eyes. He says that it's higher than all the practical mitzvahs that we do physically, and even higher than the mitzvahs that we do with our with mouth, meaning davening. V'afilo al mitzvahs Talmud Torah shebedibur. Now, even the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which, as we learned, and the Tanya himself writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah and Rav Shulchan Aruch, that when you learn, you're supposed to mouth the words, not just read with your eyes. You're supposed to say the words when you learn. But the yichud that takes place, the ikki yichud that takes place, is not through the akimas fasaim, through the motion of the mouth, which is a physical way to keep the mitzvah of learning, which is important, but it takes place through the tfisa, that the mind becomes attached to the infinite mind of God. It's the tfisa of the mind. Therefore, the Tanya in general was opposed to a person just reading, mouthing words of learning. There isn't anything like that in Zohar Kodesh. There isn't anything to say the Zohar. That's also not for now. But otherwise, the Tanya held l'halacha that if you're learning a piece of Torah Shabbat Peh, if you're learning a piece of Torah Shabbat Peh, and you're just reading it, you're reading the Gemara, or you're reading the Mishnah, you don't know what it means, then it's not, you're not making the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because the ikir is the dveikus of the mind, of the seichel. Kaidei kol ha-mitzvah shebedibur ha-maitzah, kash baruch ha-malbish ha-nefesh ha-makifo, or Hashem hiroi shavad raglu. It's true. With any of the mitzvahs that we do by speech, or in physical action, Hashem enclothes also the nefesh. U-makifo Hashem, and the person is surrounded by a light of Hashem, hiroi shavad raglu. Since you're doing this mitzvah with your body, you're building a sukkah, you're benching lulav, whatever it is. You're running to help a person cross this, an old person cross the street. No? Your body is engaged in the mitzvah, and the light of Hashem enclothes you. B'shas ma'aseh, at the time of the mitzvah, the light of Hashem enclothes you from head to toe. It's gevaldik, from head to toe. U'b'yidiyas ha'seich, u'b'yidiyas ha'tayra, However, when it comes to the learning of Torah, ubiyidiyas haTorah milvad shahaseichel melubash b'chachmas Hashem. Besides the fact that your mind becomes enclosed with the chachmas Hashem, with the infinite mind of Hashem, hinigam chachmas Hashem bekirbay. It's not a light of Hashem that surrounds you from head to toe. It's the chachmas Hashem that enters into you, that penetrates into the essence of who you are. Mashas, he says, hine, who'll be this at her milvach, a sechel mulubish b'chomas Hashem, hine gam chochmas Hashem b'kibo, mashas a sechel masik v'toifus amakiv b'sechloi. Any time that your mind is holding on to, and your mind is penetrating a piece of learning, a piece of Torah, to the best of your ability, each person according to his seichel, according to his understanding. That's why, coming back to the first Rashi, that's why amelus in Torah is so important. Which, of course, there's an inyan of mesiras nefesh by mitzvahs. But amelus, which means to struggle and toil in the study of Torah. There are those who to this day are staunchly opposed to things like translations of Gemara and so on. There are still holdouts, you know, in that old school. There were a number of articles written, one of which should have never been written. It's just sort of, he should have kept it to himself. But it was just so strong, it just became not nice. It wasn't nice. It was like mean-spirited. In a journal, or a Yisrael that comes out from Zerachashir Rabbanim in Mansi, this was maybe 2 years ago, on this different articles written for and against Art school Gemara, not the four against. So there's a person who thinks against. Why would anybody think against art school Gemara? There are thousands and thousands of Jews that would never have had any access, would never have been able to learn Gemara, because the English translations that were a long time ago when we were kids that we tried to use to prepare for the Gemara test, we got more messed up from those than it was very bad. It was very bad. So art school saved the world with the Gemara. What's there to be opposed? One of the main nakudas, I'm not talking about some different, more archaic, strange tainus, but one of the nakudas is, the ikka nakuda is, amelus b'taira. In other words, what's more valuable? We need to understand this. I'm not going to go into that question of the translations anymore. You're free to read it. I'd be glad to give you the journal to look at it, at the photostat. There's a whole big section just on this thing. What's more valuable? You have an hour's time. It's a question. You have an hour's time. This goes back to the question of the yeshivas also, the keys and Ian and so on. It's a very big question. So you have an hour's time. If the guy takes out the art scroll, Gemara, he'll be able to, in the hour, he'll be able to do an omelet, a blot. In an hour, he'll be able to do. He'll read in English, and he'll be able to know a blot of Gemara. But he could sort of breeze through it in the hour, because when he reads it in English, because that's his native tongue, and because it seems to him to be popping out of the page that this is what it means. Unless this is a particularly difficult Indian. But otherwise, it's, you know, you're an intelligent person. It's your language. And not only that, but to have explanatory notes. It's not just a translation in the art school. It's with explanations. Although I have to say, I haven't spent more than a half hour total in my life looking in an art school room. But that's what comes out from the page in such a way. So the person can do that and can cover and can get some beautiful knowledge and ideas. So is that better, or is the guy that sits for that hour and breaks his head over three lines? Over the three lines. And he sees they're on the shelf. Well, next to them on the table is the art school. If you put it on the table, it's really profound. But it's someplace on the shelf. And he knows. He's sitting there, he knows, Rabbi Shalom, I'm making myself crazy here over these three lines. I just have to go a little bit, I look, And it's okay, I got it. It's not so pashut. I'm not saying this way or that way, but it's not so pashut. It means I'm melem b'toyer. You see, if you would be the person that you would, for that hour, even with the art school, again, obviously I'm not talking about people who can't read the Hebrew at all, it's not, it's a tachas. But if you would be a person who you would put all of the intellectual energy, and even the emotional energy that goes into learning the Gemara in the English, it's not davka that has to be in Hebrew, it's not Torah Shebichsav. You could say the words in English. The point is not the English. That's not the main problem, the translation. The main problem is that the translation, when you get the translation, then you're ready, you lean back a little bit, and you're not in that place of effort. I'm melus b'tayr. So what's the ikkar? That you understood it because somebody else was sitting someplace working hard on translating that Gemara, and he did that work for you. Not only translating but explaining it for you, he did it work for you. Well, I'm melus b'tayr. I don't want to go through that. It's a very.
Somebody understands the language of the Gemara.
It's Lav Davka. We have, you know, I was in the Swam store yesterday, and they have a Yiddish translation. They made it look like a Yiddish Rav Metzia. They made a Yiddish Rav Metzia. I thought it was cute. I don't know how many, you know. I guess that's for the guys that don't want to. They want to feel better. They're not looking at the English. You just see, well, these guys nowadays can all read English too. It's not like, in Eretz Yisrael, maybe Yiddish people are really real Yiddish speakers, but in America, these kids already can read English. It's not a problem. But so it's not the language per se. In Torah Shebichsav, we're really hung up on the words. In Torah Shebichsav, we're not hung up on the words. Well, the ikkar is the havana, but there's this other element. The element is harving, hard work. Because when you have a kasha, every kasha we learn many times, every question in learning, like when you're learning something and there's a difficulty in learning, that kasha is a klipa. It's like a shell. It's like a shell that surrounds the infinite one, who is hiding in that piece of Torah. And when you break through, and anybody who's done that knows that there's nothing that's more exciting and satisfying. When you break through that shell, when you break through that klipa, so you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question is, if there's no klipa, if someone does it for me, I mean, the people, art school, or Rabbi Steinsaltz, whatever you like, you know, whatever, whoever translates. But if they did it for me. So it's not a klipa there. So then, from the perspective of the secular way of thinking, finally, after thousands of years, some normal person came over here and made my life, and I could understand this. But from the perspective of Pnimius HaTorah, it's not davke an advantage. Of what's supposed to be happening, this yichud that we're talking about, it's not so push. I'm not saying in any way, chalila, I look at it as being an unbelievable undertaking what they translated, and they made they made it available for people to learn. My feeling is that it's unbelievable. It's a huge, huge mile and so on. But you have to appreciate that the fact that someone helped you with the words was not intended and should not be used in a way to take away the amelus of Torah, the struggle over learning Torah, because that's the most precious thing in the world, to break through the klipa. So what do you mean? Why, if I don't have any klipas, then I can just go straight to God? Because the trip to God is derech haklipas. It's not like in the old Star Trek, like beam me down or beam me up. You got to get there. You got to go through it. You got to go through, like I said, by the Hilulu, Mizrach Magid said, by davening, that I go there. I go to that place where I'm davening to. You got to get there. And to get there means mountains and valleys and kashas and terutsim and fighting and yelling and arguing, the same way when you have to get someplace that's far away. You have to get there. There's all kinds of things in the way, and mountains. Until you get to the Bari Olam. It's the lost princess. And it's not the, you just walk in that you have a free pass and you go in. It's not free passes. It's not free passes. So if you're not perspiring over your Torah learning, it's not so posh that you're engaged in that yichud that the Tanya is talking about. So that's why it needs to be clear that the Tanya is not arguing with Rabbi Chaim as far as breaking yourself over learning. That's not the shaila. To be focused and to, that's not a shaila. But the Tanya says this nakuda of l'shem hasogas hadveikus. The purpose of learning Torah is this yichud. It's l'shem hasogas hadveikus. But the Reb Chaim says it's l'shem hasogas hatorah. The Tanya says l'shem hasogas hadveikus. But as far as how to learn and what you put into learning, there's no disagreement between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim. And that's a terrible misunderstanding that people have. And how much time to spend in learning? There's no disagreement. So he says, by learning Torah, Milvad Shaseichem Lubesh B'Chochmas Hashem, and he gam Chochmas Hashem, and Kibbel Masha Seichel, Masa Gatoifas, and Maki B'Sichel, Masha Evshel, Litvais, and Lahasik, and Midias, and Torah, each Kvi Sichel, each person according to the ability of his Seichel. And again, that's what I was saying before. Whether if you put your Seichel into Chumash, if you put your Seichel into the Gemara, each person, what he could do. You put your Seichel up. It is to put yourself into it. To put your Seichel into it. That's called Sight. Whether you're learning Navi, you're learning Gemara, or you're learning Zohar. That's called sight, the secret. Dveikus is the secret. Dveikus is the secret. I'm not learning. I'm in. I'm in this. I'm there. I'm not talking about it. I'm in it. And that's why I mentioned a few weeks ago that amazing thing that I saw with. With Shmuel Berenbaum's Echzal Levracha and Reb Leib Bakst, right, arguing. Remember the fact that was on the computer? The two, at a chasna, I think it was. And they were arguing over a piece of learning. The whole world didn't exist. And those of us who are a little bit older and were in yeshiva saw that. Maybe you still see that in yeshiva. No, I'm not in yeshiva now. But there was nothing else in the world. There was nothing else in the world. Because when you're standing, you think, right, like, you know, if the rabbis would please, you know, quiet down or... You know, doesn't look so good, what's going on here. There's nothing else that exists. Because they're not talking about the Gemara. They're in the Gemara. They're not talking about it. They're living in the Gemara. And therefore, there's nothing else that exists. And anybody who ever saw real Amelus and Torah, who saw, like they say about Reb Tzadok HaKoyen, that after Marv, Reb Tzadok was very, very, very poor. He was a young man, he was poor. He was always poor. But he was penniless. And so he used to go, he didn't have any swamps, so he used to go to the Beis Medrash, and he would go on a ladder up to get a sefer. So after Marv, they would leave him like that. They knew that they left the coin in the Beis Medrash, and he'd be on the ladder on the top looking in the sefer, like with leaning on his knee looking in the sefer. And they said that when they used to come for Shachris, he would be in the exact same, like in the ladder, in the exact same place, and that same, like, you know, that was the night. That was the night. That was it. There wasn't an Indian of being in this world. It was being in that learning. There's no disagreement about that. Not that Tanya and Reb Chaim Volozhiner learned, both of them learned that way. They would have made a beautiful chavrusa, I'm sure. That would have been a nice thing. They were contemporaries. It wasn't meant to be. And then there's no disagreement at all. Besichel mash efshelo litvayz lahasing midis atar iskefi sichel. Each person according to his seichel. Not to cheat. Not to cheat means that you have a stronger seichel. Okay, and the person's seichel is not so strong. There's no tainus against you. That's how the Baruch Shalom made you. He made you that your seichel is not so strong. Each person according to his seichel. The koyachid the yosef asakos of a paradis. Each person can learn in paradis, meaning in the different levels of learning Torah, pshat, remez, drush, and so. Well, if he should be Diaz HaTorah, HaTorah Melubeshes B'Nefesh HaAdam. When you're learning Torah, the Torah doesn't just surround you from head to toe, but the infinite one himself becomes melubish, enclosed in the soul of a person, the sichlo in his mind, is mukefes b'saicha. You becomes completely engulfed in elikus, achenikus b'shem lechem umazon hanefesh. Therefore, the Torah is called the food and the sustenance of the soul. We don't find that by other mitzvahs. We don't find that other mitzvahs. Not any of the practical mitzvahs, and not even davening. We don't find that it's called food or sustenance. Only learning Torah is called the food of the soul. Not to be confused with what used to be known back in the old days as soul food. Only Torah is called the food and the sustenance of the soul. You don't see such a thing by any other mitzvah. That it's called the food of a yid. Like we saw that the Rabbi Nachman from the Breslau is from the Ashrei, which I have. Somebody was kind enough to laminate for me after we learned it, and I have it on. So I keep it on the refrigerator. Ashrei, you know, a person who's fortunate who's able to drink a few cup of Tehillim, you know, it's like to eat a couple of Mishnayos. You know, you're going to the refrigerator. So to try to remember what the Ikka eating is supposed to be in life. It's not the stuff inside the refrigerator, but what's on your table in your study. Now it's in the refrigerator. The Torah is the Lechem Umazon HaNefesh. Ki Kamoisha Lechem HaGashmi. Why is it called the food of the soul? Because the same way that lechem hagashmi, that physical bread, regular bread, zon es haguf, it sustains, it nourishes the body. Kshemachnisa b'soicha v'kibay mamish, and the food gets into you, completely into you, and becomes part of you. The food becomes one with you. When you eat the food, it becomes one with you. If that's not happening, then you can't swallow, then you spit it out. It doesn't. The food becomes in you. And it becomes the blood and flesh of your body. This was once a separate thing. There was me and there was the bread. And now it's no longer me and the bread. We became one. It's in my blood. That's what Torah is called, Mazon HaNefesh. That's exactly what we're talking about, Lag BaOmer. That the Torah is Mazon HaNefesh. Me, it's no longer two separate things. Vazai yichiv yiskayim, and then it's through that you're not gonna live just by keeping a piece of bread on the table and looking at it. You have to eat it, and when then it becomes part of you, and it gives you life. The bread was yichiv yiskayim. Kach biyidias haTorah v'asagosa b'nefesh adam shalom da heitev be'iyin sichlai. So it is with a person who learns Torah be'iyin sichlai with all of his mind. He puts all of his mind into it. Hashem dispenses b'sichlai, so it becomes grasped and wrapped, digested in your mind, like digested. U'misachedes imay, and it becomes one with your mind. V'hoyul achadim, they become absolutely one. Na'aseh mazon lenefesh, then that Torah becomes you, which is kivyachol the Infinite One Himself, which is the food of your nefesh, v'chayim v'kivim, and it lives inside of you, mechaye ha'chayim, from the life of all life, ein soif baruch hu, the Infinite One, may His name be blessed. That's what it means to learn Torah. Hu ha'malubish b'chachmosa v'tevosu shebikirba, the Infinite One Himself is malubish, is enclosed, is in that piece of Torah that you just swallowed in your brain. And that's the meaning of the pasuk. Your Torah is in my kishkes. The me'ayim means my intestines. The Torah is in my kishkes. It says in the Kisveri that the levushay, the garments of the neshama in Gan Eden, has clothing and has food. Lechem lechol ubeged lilbaish. In Gan Eden. In this world we have the main thing that a person needs is food to eat and clothing to wear. And in Gan Eden, which is not physical, so what is the clothing and what's the food? So it says there in Eitz Chaim that the levusha and the shamas are the mitzvahs, the practical mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs that we do and that we say. Those are the levusha and the shamas. Those are the garments. That's the clothing of the soul in Gan Eden. V'hatayr, but the Torah that you learned in your life, throughout your life, hi hamozn l'haneshamas. That's the food of the neshamas. Sha'osku ba'ilam hazeh b'tayr l'shma, who spent their lives, the neshamas, when they were in this world, that they were learning Torah l'shma. They were learning Torah l'shma. K'ma shekosu b'zor v'yakel l'shma, and the Rebbe brings the Zohar, which we saw. The Zohar is a beferish. What does it mean? L'shma. Hani k'day l'kasha nafshet l'ashem. Ha'idah ha-sogas ha-tayra. L'shma means attaching your soul to God. Ha'idah ha-sogas tayra, by grasping and understanding this tayra. Ish kifi seichel, each person according to his seichel. K'ma shekosu v'pri Yitzchayim. V'amozen hi b'chines or p'nimi. The food is an inner light that penetrates into the kishkas of the person. And the clothing that you wear surrounds you, like we saw before. That the b'shas ma'isim, you do a mitzvah, the light of Hashem surrounds you from head to toe, which is beautiful, but it's not the same thing as learning. Learning is in the kishkas. It's digested, it's swallowed, it becomes one with you. The clothing is makifim. L'chein omru chazal, Shatalmud Torah shokol connected to kol ha-mitzvahs. Therefore, Chazal taught that learning Torah is equal to all the mitzvahs. V'yisha ha-mitzvahs ain levushim, levad, because the mitzvahs are just clothing. V'atayri himozim, and the Torah is food. V'gam levush l'nefesh ha-maskelis, and it's also a levush for the nefesh ha-maskelis, for that which is called the nefesh ha-maskelis, which is mislabesh ba, which becomes enclosed in it, the iyuna in the Torah, when the person learns Torah, the limuda, the kol shekain, kshemaitzi b'fiv, the diber, and especially so, when the person is not only thinking of the Torah, but he utters the words as he learns, he says the words, then he has a complete program. Then he has, the neshama has a hiskashus, and a hislabshus, with the food that it eats of that piece of Torah. And since he's physically mouthing the words, he also is making the levush, the clothing of the soul. The food of the soul is the tfisa, is the grasp of that piece of Torah that you ingest through that learning. And the garment, the clothing of the soul, is the physical act of actually saying the words when you're learning, using your mouth, which is a physical act. Shehevel adi benasi b'chinas or makif k'mashakosu b'pri Yitzchayim. That didn't come out on the bottom there. But the hevel, the words that you say with your mouth, nasi b'chinas or makif, becomes surrounding like, because that's a mitzvah. Using the mouth is a physical mitzvah. That becomes that's the makif. K'mashakosu, as it says in Pri Yitzchayim. Then you look on the top on the left, is a sentence that's found in Torah Or Parashas Tetzaveh. Torah Or, a drushes in the Baal HaTanya, that were mostly transcribed by his grandson, the Tzemach Tzadik. Mizehu inyin eisek ha-Torah l'shma, where the Tanya says, Mizehu eisek inyin Torah l'shma, this is the inyin of learning Torah l'shma, l'shem ha-Torah. That sounds, those are the exact words of Reb Chaim Elozner and the exact words of Rav Kook. L'shem HaTorah. But what does that mean when he says L'shem HaTorah? And we're going to see that this is in Rav Kook, in the Aris HaTorah, that this appears to be the direction where Rav Kook is inclined. So he used the exact same words. Zeh inyan esek haTorah lishma, which means l'shem haTorah. And if you would stop there, you would say, that's Nefesh HaChayim. But we don't stop there. Hainu, which means legalois or ein soif b'chachma, to reveal the infinite light of God in chachma. Shehi b'chines haTorah, daraisa mechachma nafkas. Daraisa, the Torah comes from that level of the spheres, whatever. It's chachmas Hashem, which is exactly what he's writing about in Tanya. So he's saying. So what does it mean, l'shem haTorah? Not l'shem understanding the Torah. That's understood. L'shem haTorah is for the tachlis, legalois or ein soif, to get to the borei olam, the chachma, that koyach of chachma. That's called Torah l'shma. And then the next piece, from Shari Tshuva, from the Mittler Rebbe, from the Baal Tanya's son, Reb Dov Ber, the Mittler Rebbe. V'zehu l'shma l'shem haTorah. L'shma means l'shem haTorah. Shemamshichim or ein soif b'chachma the Torah, to reveal, to draw into the chachmas the Torah, the infinite light of Hashem. Dain l'shem haTorah shelamata, l'chabri maTorah shelamala mimenu, to join together the Torah down below here in this world, meaning in your mind, sitting in front of your sefer, with the Torah that's above in Hashem's mind. V'chakech nikris terosai, then it becomes your Torah. You ingest it, you eat it. The Torah from above, you eat, and it becomes your Torah. Haderech ma'asha Torah nikris teros ma'asha. Like we see, that there's such a thing by tzaddik, that it becomes Taras Maisha. Maisha Rabbein is Torah. It was Taras Hashem, now it's Taras Maisha. He swallowed it, he took it, it became him. Taras Maisha. Shnamar, it says in Navi, Zichu Taras Maisha Avdi. Taras Maisha. Shenikus Taras Maisha, Lefisha Maisha Himshich Or Ein Sof B'Torah. You know why? Because the Maisha Rabbein learned Torah. He didn't just read it like an interesting book and a story or whatever, or some legal thing. But Moshe Rabbeinu learned Torah, he swallowed it, he ate it, he became one with him. His mind was Teufes, the infinite one, through that piece of learning. And he therefore, through that learning, him shechar ein soif b'Torah, he was able to draw and to reveal the infinite one himself in Torah. Ayadei shaharit oisolamata, he drew down into himself the Torah from above, the light of Torah. Rilomda Livnaisal, he taught it to the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu was makabel the Torah. It's not a small thing. We just got used to saying it all the years, and it's coming to Shavuos. It's a pretty big thing. I don't know what that is. I feel like I'm in an office over here. If the secretary could please pick that one up already. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kabbalah of Torah. Shehayvida Salamata Rilomda Livnaisal, the Kol Echad Vechad Ha'isigba. And therefore, whoever is Isaac Ba, whoever is sitting and learning Torah, Bamis, Isaac, he really puts his kaiches, his mind, buries into the Torah. Mamshich Umar Desa, he becomes like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is not the only one who brought the Torah down from Shemayim. Every single Jew who learns Torah, who learns Torah Lishma, this way, brings the Torah down from Shemayim. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, Chidush HaTorah. That leads to the whole subject of Chidush HaTorah. Every single Jew draws down his chelik of Torah from Shemayim. So it's not just Torah Moshe, it's Torah Shmuel, it's Torah Aviyaz, it's Torah Bitzal, it's Torah Beni Mevenish, Torah Dov Beresh. It's everybody's Torah. I just did that wrong. But it's everybody's Torah. That's it's not when you do that, you learn Torah Lishma. You draw the Infinite One Himself. Into and there's a meeting between the Torah Lamala And the Torah Lamat, it's hashlutik. Ein yichud kama. The Tanya says there is no yichud that's bigger than that yichud. There's no unification. There's no joining together that's higher than that joining. Mamshuch amoy lo yisem ha'olam ha'alim lo'olam ha'tachtan v'aydezet nitin l'galas o'er b'olam ha'zem mamish. And then you could reveal the light of Torah mamish in this world. We're going to talk more about what it means. And that's, and when we're going to learn, Bez Hashem, go back into the Arza Torah next week. This is exactly what Rav Kook is saying. It's exactly what he's saying. When you draw, you mamish, then being megal the Torah Hashem in the world, and this you'll see that in the words of Rav Kook, when Rav Kook, his nusach will be that the person is looking for his mitzim ha'koyach el ha'poyel. He brings out from the koyach el ha'poyel the Torah Hashem in this world. This is what the same thing the Middle Zohar is saying. So bring these pages, we're not finished. Bring the pages next week, we'll continue.